It was caused by some of the investigators who refused to take this type of investigation seriously. As a result of the attempts to ridicule by snide remarks, which have not been included here, I decided not to allow this type of questioning. The aliens speak. 291. Again. I thought it would be a method to gain information for research and study, but I soon realized that the investigators in 1987 were not ready for this. Some of them had not yet approached the subject from the metaphysical angle. I had come to realize that unless the investigator understands metaphysics, they would never begin to understand the complex nature of UFOs and extraterrestrials. It is all interrelated, and cannot be separated, although the nuts and bolts type persist. I suppose there is room for all types of investigators in this field. We all hold bits and pieces of the puzzle. We cannot assume that our once small bit is the entire puzzle. There are too many shadings and variations, thus we have to learn to all work together. Most of the people left, but a few of us remained and talked until after 1 o'clock in the morning. Suzanne took a shower about that time and then called me in to look at her feet. When she came out of the bathroom, she noticed they were covered with large red blotches. The discoloration was only on the feet and did not extend up past her ankles. It was already beginning to fade back to the normal color of her skin. No one really knew how to explain it, unless it had something to do with the alien energy. It could also have related to the nervousness she felt before beginning the session. At that time, I didn't know that in the following years I would have other cases where the body would be affected by some type of similar energy. I was soon to become aware that the human body is capable of doing many things that the body is not supposed to do, when working in the deepest states of trance. The most important tenet to remember when doing this type of work is, do no harm. But you must constantly be prepared for the unexpected. 292. The custodians. I did not have any more sessions with Suzanne. This had been interesting to her, but she treated it as a strange curiosity and did not want to encourage the channeling of aliens. She was attending business school and was more interested in finding a job. I always respect the wishes of my subject, so I did not pursue it any further with her. I did not have to worry, because now that direct contact had been established with beings from another world, it was to continue. They had found a willing listener, and communication would continue through other means. I had opened the door to another adventure. This first section, and cases I have not included, follow a recognizable pattern. The same characteristics are repeated all over the world. There is a redundancy that cannot be fantasized, especially because in many cases the subjects were not familiar with UFO literature. In the 1980s, when most of these were investigated, there were not many books published on the subject. And even those that were in print did not focus on the facets I have uncovered. Such as, similar types of beings seen most frequently, similar types of spacecraft, similar procedures performed by the aliens, similar motives, and the repeated story of the seeding of the planet. These similarities give the stories validity, because there was no possible collaboration between them. I think it is remarkable that all the cases reported in subjects. Also, while other investigators and publications were reporting the alien agenda as negative and evil, my cases consistently reported a benevolent creature. Even science recognizes that when an experiment is repeated and the results are the same, this is the credible evidence they require to establish validity. Most importantly, the people in this book did not wish publicity or notoriety. The opposite was true. They sought anonymity, and to respect their wishes, their names and occupations were changed so they could continue to live their lives in privacy. Section 2, Chapter 8, Contact with a Little Gray Being, I section. Because this was the continuous work with INTA decided to investigation a separated one put entire portion of, subject, Jana says the other cases supplied valuable information that led me from the simple cases in UFO investigation to the complex. My work with Janice took a different turn. It resulted from the direct communication with the aliens themselves. The information they supplied over a period of 3 years took me deeper and deeper into complex theories and explanations that would have been impossible for me to comprehend in the early days of my work. I have always known I will never be given more than I can handle at the time. If the information is too radical or too much a departure from the norm, then there is the tendency to ignore it or to push it aside as not making any sense. If the information is spoon-fed or given in small doses, then it is easier to develop a new line of thinking about this phenomenon. Then what earlier was impossible to understand gradually begins to make a strange kind of sense, even though it does bend the mind and makes us think in a totally new direction. This is what happened with my work with Janice. In the beginning it was following the same direction as the other cases, 293, 294, the custodians, although supplying new information. Then it began to flow into areas that were so complex that I decided not to include it all in this book. This book was already larger than most of the books I write. But when it came to choices of cutting material to reduce the size, the choices became difficult. As an investigator, I considered all the material valuable in adding new insight. But as the sessions with Janice continued, they left the area of UFOs and entered the area of different dimensions and complex theories about time and parallel universes. I was already working on another book about these subjects, Convoluted Universe, so I made the decision to move some sessions to that book so the reader would not be completely confounded and overwhelmed. By the time the reader is ready for the next book, maybe their mind will also be ready to comprehend the theories involved. When I first came in contact with Janice in 1989, I had already been working on UFO and suspected abduction cases since 1987. In those early days I traveled long distances to work on cases, and I tried to work with anyone that requested a session. That is not possible now. My schedule is so hectic with lectures and traveling to conventions, seminars, etc., that I no longer have time to travel just to work with one person. I no longer have that luxury. I am still accumulating information, but not in the slow-paced manner that I did in the early days of my work. In the summer of 1989, my first book, Conversations with Nostradamus, Volume I, was in print, and I journeyed to Little Rock to give my first lectures on the subject of the Nostradamus prophecies. Many people requested sessions out of curiosity, and when they found out I was also doing hypnosis for abduction cases, I was getting requests about that also. Since I knew Lou was interested, I tried to schedule as many UFO cases as possible when I made my trips to Little Rock. Janice was one of these, a woman who approached me after my first lecture, and said she would like to talk to me about troubling events in her life. When I returned to Little Rock in August 1989, she came to the house where I was staying, and we talked for 2 hours as she tried to make sense out of strange events that had occurred most of her life. Contact with a Little Gray Being, 295. Janice was a woman in her 40s who had never married, although she was attractive. She is unable to have children because of female problems since puberty. Her main concern was keeping her identity a secret, since she had a highly responsible position as a computer analyst for a large corporation. Her main fear was that she would lose her job if there was any hint of incompetency. Over the years, she tried to talk to someone about her experiences, but was unable to do so. I was the first person she felt comfortable enough with to reveal all the strange incidents. At this time I was staying with my friend, Patsy, when I drove the 4 hours to Little Rock. She had a large house, and gave me the privacy needed for discussion with the clients, and the hypnotic sessions. On this day we had the house to ourselves, and I set up my tape recorder on the dining room table to record Janice's remarks. She noticeably relaxed as the discussion proceeded, and the only time attention was brought to the recorder was when I changed the tapes. We talked at random and even digressed into other areas of her life, so I only transcribed the pertinent portions. When she finally began to release all the pent-up information, it was coming in such a rush that I couldn't make sense of it. I was being overwhelmed, so I tried to organize it by asking her to start at her earliest memories. These memories went back to the age of 4, when she would awaken screaming that they had come and gotten her. Her mother thought she was just having nightmares, but agreed to let her sleep with her light on. She remembered many times playing in her room, and looking around and seeing a face at the window. She knew they were coming to get her, and she would start running down the hall. But she never made it very far, because she would be stopped, paralyzed, and unable to move. She never knew how much time elapsed, but when she came back to herself, she would be standing in the hall, very cold, barely breathing, with her mother shaking her. This also occurred when she was playing in the yard with her brother. He would run into the house shouting, "Mother, it's happening to her again. She's 296, the custodians, gone again." All during this time as a child she had a foreboding fear that they were coming again, or those people, as she started calling them. Although she never had any idea who they were. I asked her to describe the face she saw at the window, and she said it was a little guy with big dark, dark eyes, but then it would change into a dog looking in the window. Naturally when she told this to her mother she wouldn't believe her, especially since the window of her room was very high off the ground. No normal dog could look in the window. She tried to explain to her mother, after the paralyzed incident would occur, that she had been out somewhere. I knew I had been outside myself, in a state other than we know how to do. You can call it out of the body. The only way I've come close to describing it is if you took your essence out and left the physical. I might be physically here, but the essence is on another plane or something. Often she would wake up in the morning knowing she hadn't really been in bed all night. During childhood there were several occasions when she had serious illnesses that were life-threatening. There was even one time when the doctors told her mother she would never walk again. In each of these cases she had a miraculous recovery, and the doctors could never explain what had happened to her. As she grew older she had many episodes of missing time. She was not aware that anything unusual had happened. The missing time was only confirmed by others, which added to her confusion. Her mother remarked, "You're the only person I know who can go to the grocery store, and come back 3 days later." She had to fabricate and tell her she had met a friend and went to their house, when in reality she had no idea where she had been. She would have a faint memory of coming down through treetops, then going into the grocery store, getting the bread and going home. By that time she was a teenager in high school and her mother thought she was out partying, but Janice said she drinks very little and has never done drugs. This sensation continued throughout her life. She would start to go somewhere and arrive late. She didn't know, contact with a little gray being, 297, what happened to the time, and was afraid if she told anyone about this they would lock her up. She said, "I had a sensation, a little glimmer of knowing something had happened. And I would come back moving first. I have now learned that my earth time and that time have to adjust and get back in sync. It would be the feeling of going first, and I would find myself back in my car driving. That would be a big adjustment." She grew up feeling she had to hide somewhere so they couldn't find her. She worried it would start happening to her family, so she moved away from home when she was 18. She still had no idea what it was. An unknown something was dealing with me. And I had nobody to tell. I was afraid to tell, because they wouldn't believe me. The memories of an actual contact with unknown forces began to finally seep through around 1987. It usually happened unexpectedly, and at the most inopportune moments. An example was while she was at work teaching a girl in the office about supercopying on the computer. This is where you're in two documents at the same time. I was trying to explain it to the girl. I said, "Actually it's like being in two places at the same time." Instantly I had a telepathic flash, yes, simultaneous time. And it was like a movie in my head of simultaneous lifetimes. It was so overpowering I had to excuse myself and go to the ladies' room. I sat in there and all this knowledge kept coming in about teleportation, how it works mechanically, and how you can be in two places at the same time. And in my mind I saw my body dissolving, and ending up in California or some place I've never been. I felt a strange sensation in my head while this was happening. I wouldn't call it dizzy. I don't know what you could call it actually, except that while I was in the toilet I was taught some complex stuff. And this has continued since 1987. Some kind of teaching. Also in 1987 Janice had a strange experience that both awakened these old memories and made some pieces fall into place. 298, the custodians, J, I was getting ready to go to a potluck dinner, standing in front of my bathroom mirror, when I got this funny little sensation in my head. I felt a little dizzy, and thought I ought to go sit down. It was not very far from the bathroom to my bed, but I never made it. I felt myself start to lift out. D, what do you mean? J, my spirit, my essence. I guess it could be called an out-of-body experience, but it vacuumed out my insides. It was like a whoosh out. And I could look and see myself standing there. 3 hours later I was still standing there, like I was when I was a child. D, this was from the other perspective. J, this is true. That's what put me in touch with the child thing. That's what got me thinking and remembering, now that happened when I was little. D, and you were sucked out, and you could see yourself. J, I was out, and I still could see the physical. And there was somebody there, maybe it was my guardian angel. I didn't even have to look. I felt it was somebody familiar. And he asked, do you want to go to your beginning? D, do you want to go to your beginning? That's interesting. J, I had been telling, saying, praying, sending. There's a level of intensity you get to when you want to do something, and you do it. And I had been saying for days and weeks, I mean it. It's time for me to know my source. It's time for me to go to my beginning. It's time for me to unravel all this stuff I've been living with for 40-something years. And I mean, now. So he said, are you ready to go? And I said, yes, let's go. And I still had a physical me of sorts, even though I could look and see me standing there. Even though my hand went through my arm, I saw a physical me. D, it looked like you, but it was not. Solid, yes. But could you see through your house, or where were you? J, yes, I could see through the house. I could look through my ceiling down, and there I was standing there. And I thought, that's kind of neat. And I wasn't afraid. I have since figured this out. If I had been afraid, this would never have, contact with a little gray being, 299, taken place. D, yeah, you would probably have been put right back in or whatever. J, yes. And we rose, and we went up through some levels. As if you had a layer cake, and you went up through the layers, so to speak. And there was the baby soul level. Then we went up, and there was a level of I don't know some kind of spirit things. And I thought, HMM, this doesn't feel good here. Then I looked over to the left, and there were demons and monsters and things over there. They were coming at me. And I said, stop. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not afraid of you. And whoosh. It was like a piece of saran wrap came down, and they were soaking into it. And I said, see, I told you I wasn't afraid. And as we continued going up, I could look over there and there was the 1800s. I could look over there and there was 1945. And I could look different directions and see different time periods. It was like tuning a television set. Oh, that's neat. That time period was right over here. D, you could see it all by just looking around in a circle? J, well, it wasn't in a circle. It was sort of in a straight line actually. D, linear? But you could look in on anywhere. J, I could tune in here and see what was going on. It's all going on. D, it's still going on? J, oh, yes. It is all still there, and is presently now going on. Laugh, so I said to this fellow, oh, that's so pretty. I want to go right over there. And he said, you've been over there. You've done this. This is time. You can go over there any time you want. However, you wanted to go to your beginning. You'll have to do that another time. So we went past it. Then the next thing I came to was a point. And I thought, golly, I'm light, I'm light. Wow. As in light like a bulb light. D, made out of light, you mean? J, yeah. All of a sudden I was pure light. 300, the custodians. D, you didn't have this resemblance of fear physical form? You were light? J, yes, actually I was. I actually shot to a star. And I said, wow, I'm a star, and I wasn't Janice anymore. I was that star. And I looked around, as a star, and I saw this universe spread out, And I said, "All right. This is my point in the universe. I've since learned why that happened. A star or a particular portion of the heavens is the entry point for the soul essence energy into the physical. And it comes through a particular sector." This sounded familiar to me, and I remembered the near-death experience that Meg reported in my book, Between Death and Life. In her experience, she also went to a star and felt the totality of the universe. D. But you were essentially a light being made of light. J. Yeah, at that moment. I stayed there until I realized it. And then at the point of realization, whoosh. Each time, as soon as I realized it, I went on to something else. So from that point, it was like the angel level. We went through colors, and I could feel and be each color. And when we got through the colors, I looked and said, "Wow, I'm just molecules. I'm just her." I knew this section was me. I had a beingness. I had a form. D. You still had a personality. J. I had anything. I was everything I ever was, except the physical. But if I wanted to be physical, all I had to do was think it, and I could see me. I could see Janice, me. D. So you knew you hadn't lost contact. J. I was still me if I wanted to be. If I wanted to think. And I could also think. Oh, that energy. I would like to see. As soon as you think it, you can see it. They were telling me, "Well, this is your beginning." And I went, "Oh, wow, this is neat." And they said, "You've done this level." And I said, "Yeah." It was like you stayed there and exchanged energies in that level. And as soon as I thought, "But this is contact with a little gray being, 301, not my source," I went on. All the way past to the point where there is no time, to the point where there is a creation, past the point of creation, to a level where the all knowledge and the ancient ones are. I passed the gods, goddess level, and I went straight to a big rose quartz essence. It has to be the most unconditional love I've ever known. I was just happy to be at my beginning. It was like I was revitalized, and I thought, "Well, maybe I've died." Chuckle. I was hanging around there, just basking in that warm, beautiful spirit of God. Oh, it was beautiful. Everything tingles when I think about it. And then I heard, "It's time to go back now, my child." I didn't want to go. I was crying, because I didn't want to come back. And I said, "I don't want to be alone. I've always been alone down here. And those people will come, and I don't want that." And as soon as I said that, whoosh, I was in a spaceship. Well, now that was a little much on top of what I'd just been through. I mean, I was freaked out now. I didn't know if I was physical or not physical at first, when I was in this metallic room. And I realized it was round, and it was a spaceship, and these beings were there. I was protesting, "Okay, this is it. I'm tired of this." And they started telling me they had been with me since my childhood. "We are here to protect you. We are here to help you. You are helping us. You agreed to this before you ever entered your physical life." And I shouted, "I did not. I was raising hell, right? Because I didn't know nothing about no space guys." Laugh. And so they brought a paper out. I looked and said, "That's my name. That's my signature. I did do it. Didn't I?" D. Did they tell you what you agreed to? J. They said I had lived my purpose as a helper. That many times in many situations energies come through me that transform this, that or the other, depending on the situation, to help people. That most of the time the people didn't know how they were helped, and I didn't know either. And they said it would be revealed to me. That I was to learn. 302, the custodians, and that I would never be alone. D. What did the spaceship look like? J. It was metallic, silver, clinical. It was so clean. I mean, it was just unreal how clean. It was clinical. There were instruments. There was a round-shaped room. It had dials. It had square. I don't know what they were. Something like a screen. In the room where I was there was a table. I didn't look behind me. But there was a doorway into another room. And this room had like, you know how window seats look? It had curved seats all the way around. And people can lie down on them, or just rest in here. So we had a discussion in there, and there were more people, more energies. They were all around me, and I don't really know where I was. But anyway, I remember trying to see everything. They were talking to me, and telling me about my agreement, and that I didn't have to do it. D, you could get out of it, you mean? J, sure. They said if you really do not want to continue, then you don't have to. D, that's a good thing to know. Free will again, I suppose. J, yeah, we do have free will. And they showed me, at this point, a movie of life. D, was this on one of those screens? J, it wasn't on a screen. It was like they were thinking to me. Telepathic is all I know. There were no real words. I was looking at the earth, and I saw people all over. They were flowing into two separate lines. You make a choice which line you go in, and the choice is, either to higher consciousness or not. Not everybody's going into this line. You can see the other line of people, and you're in the white light body as you go into this line. That's what has to do with the raising of the vibrational rate of the people, in direct correspondence with the raising of their level of consciousness. And at a point, and I don't know what it is, the earth will, as in Revelation, go up in flames. The possibility exists that it will. If and when that happens, they will take out the people in this line. Contact with a little gray being, 313, D. The UFO people will? J. The UFO people. They will be taken out. I saw the earth, as it exploded. I saw it turn into a sun, and just disappear from the sky. It left a big hole, like the sky was suddenly all black. You know, if you look on the earth and it's blue-green, then all of a sudden it turned orange-red. It was the end of the world. Now when that earth disappeared from that hole, I saw a new earth roll in. There really is a new earth. Whether it was symbology they were showing me, I don't know yet. I just know that a great part of their purpose, in what they were showing me in relation to me, is that I don't believe I'll go through that. I won't be staying. And they were trying to help, and I asked, but what about this one and that one? And they said, not everybody's going to choose this line. So you choose the line or you choose not. Then suddenly I came back to my apartment. And I'd lost 3 hours. I was protesting, space people. I don't do space guys. I don't know anything about that stuff. I was back in my bedroom. I was back into me. And I came back in through this section of my head. D, your forehead. J, and honestly, when I got back into my body, I wanted to go to the bed. And I thought, okay, I'm going to the bed, but body didn't go to the bed. Body didn't move. Body stood there, and said, oh, we're frustrated. We can't get to the bed. Oh, how do we get to the bed? The word was walk. Walk? Walk? And I was having trouble with the word walk. Up there in the spirit, when you wanted to go somewhere, you thought it and you went. I was having trouble making the body operate. And I was also having trouble knowing what things were. Like, car, drive. It was like I was a baby and having to learn, having to reintegrate. I actually learned I was reintegrating because I had experienced so much energy. It's like taking 120 volts and putting that back down into a 60 watt bulb. And so my body had not necessarily assimilated that, to be able to function back here. It took me a week. 304, the custodians, D. A week? This might be a good reason why people don't remember a lot of things that happened to them. They remember subconsciously, but not consciously. J, yes. And there's been times since when I've been allowed to remember things, and times when I have not been. I was very uncomfortable with it at first. But now I've come to terms with the fact that I don't have the problem if something freaky's happening. And the next sunrise was the harmonic convergence. I was supposed to go with some people to see the sunrise. But instead I got my little dog, and we went down to the lake. And the sun was coming up, and when the spark of the sun hit the dew on the grass, that same spark was the spark I was. They made me know that connection. That I am always connected. And I was crying, because I wanted to go. It was a very lonely feeling, like your relatives are leaving, going away. And I was sad that they had to leave. I wanted them to stay and help. And so, I looked up at the sky over the lake and said, if I've really been connected with spacecraft, give me a sign. A physical sign. Show me. Because I can't believe this is happening.